You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off season, every week, every month of the year. It's NBA and Kings talk all the time. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, breakdowns of everything that happens during the offseason, full build-up and coverage leading to training camp and the start of the 2019-2020 season, or maybe you just need something to get you through the long summer months where there just is not much going on in the world of Kings and NBA, you are in the right place. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and a reporter. On today's show, we have a hodgepodge of different things to talk about around the Kings and the NBA, but of course, you are all here for the exclusive interview that I had with De'Aaron Fox. It was yesterday. It's already aired on Sports 1140 KHDK, but I'm bringing it here to Locked On Kings in case you haven't heard it. My conversation with De'Aaron Fox, it was very brief, only a few minutes, but I was able to speak with him one-on-one at his pro camp here in Sacramento, really in Rockland, California. He had 240 campers over the last couple of days here in Rockland, in Sacramento, that came to learn from him, and he played one-on-one with some of them, and it was awesome to see. I got to watch a part of it, and then, of course, have my conversation with him, so I will be playing that for you in just a little bit. We're also going to talk about tampering in the NBA. We know it's happening, but now the NBA is launching into some sort of significant investigation into the additions to tampering that are going on, circumventing the NBA salary cap and owners slash organizations offering other incentives besides the money that they are allotted to spend in order to convince players to come and play for them. We'll be discussing that. Also, speaking of De'Aaron Fox, his NBA 2K rating is out, and the Kings hired Lindsay Harding, another female NBA coach, which I absolutely love. We'll be discussing her very, very briefly. I'll be sharing a little bit of my thoughts on her, and then she had some comments in an interview with ESPN's Ramona Shelburne about women coaching in the NBA that I thought was really cool. It was some great perspective and something that I personally haven't heard before, but something that I was very happy to hear. I'll be sharing that for you at the end of the podcast. So we have all that to get to here. It's going to be a shorter podcast today compared to the really long one that I had with Jay Mars on Tuesday, and we will get back to the Wild West series next week. I know many of you are really enjoying that. The responses that I've been getting on social media and over email have been really great. A lot of you very active with that Wild West series conversation and the breakdown of the Western Conference, where we expect the Kings to end up and who their biggest competitors are going to be for a playoff spot next year. Keep those coming even after today's podcast. If you want to enter it in, if you haven't already, please do that. You can reach me on Twitter at any time at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Tampering in the NBA is a real thing. It's gone on for quite some time, and while the NBA has been doing what they can to issue fines and regulate it as much as possible, I don't think it is possible to get rid of it 100%. And we're to the point where the players and agents really have so much power that even though they're not necessarily directly communicating with organizations, with general managers, there are plenty of roundabout ways for negotiations to take place. That's how we get wind of offers that are potentially on the table for players, like, for example, that secret offer that was issued to Al Horford. How do you think Al Horford and his agency and that team and that group knew that there was a better offer outside of Boston if not for someone from whatever team offered that money getting in the ear of either Horford directly or most likely his camp and his agency and letting him know that's happening? That is a prime example of tampering, and it happens all the time. It's often brushed under the rug, and one of those things where sometimes the NBA plays, if I can't see it, it didn't happen, or if there's nothing, no direct evidence that this is taking place, then I can't do anything about it. But another element of tampering that I believe has been going on for a very long time, and honestly, I was surprised by my reaction to it when ESPN announced that the NBA was looking into an investigation of this element of tampering. My reaction was a lot more tame and not as concerned as I would expect it to be, especially for someone who covers and spends their time around a team like the Sacramento Kings that ultimately is a small market and doesn't have the assets to be able to offer players like an LA or a Chicago or a Boston or major market cities like that. But we know with decision making when it comes to players, money is almost always going to be the front runner, although a close second could be winning a championship, winning a ring. But we talk about shoe deals coming into play, endorsement money that you can make along your contracts. And a lot of times players end up making more money from their endorsements overall than they do from their actual NBA paycheck. That's the way that Steph Curry and players with the Golden State Warriors are able to still make a significant amount of money, because of the amount of, it replaces the amount of money that these players are losing because of California taxes. Darren Rovell, not too long ago, tweeted out basically a summary of Steph Curry's yearly paycheck and how much money is actually being taken out of that because of state taxes, federal taxes, Social Security, and everything that we have to deal with here in California. They deal with it too, and it takes a large portion of their profits. So that has to be replaced somehow, or no California teams would get significant players. And oftentimes those are replaced by endorsement deals or endorsement opportunity that comes with the market that you're in. Now, that's not necessarily tampering. That's just smart business and smart decision-making. Where the tampering comes into play, which is where the NBA is really starting to investigate now, is are players being offered specific benefits from ownership, from organizations, from hidden partnerships between maybe the organization and a company or a group in a certain part of town or their city or their community that is helping give benefits to a player to add a cherry on top of the max contract that they can offer. And if they're able to do that, that stuff obviously doesn't show up on a salary cap. We have the reality is this is happening everywhere, and every team, if they have the opportunity to take advantage of this, yes, including the Sacramento Kings, even though their opportunities, like I said, aren't as much as a major market team, the reality is that every team would do this, and I would not be surprised if every team is doing this in some way, shape, or form. Anthony Davis turned down money, took less money in order to come to L.A., and play with LeBron James. You think that money isn't somehow being made elsewhere or by another maybe endorsement? Or actually, I know exactly what it is. Anthony Davis is coming and playing with LeBron James, who is now the star of Space Jam 2. Anthony Davis is now in Space Jam 2. And by the way, a lot of Space Jam 2 is run by Rich Paul, who is the agent of both LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So not exactly significant, specific tampering in that sense, but that's a idea that gives you a cognitive example of how Anthony Davis turned down money on his NBA salary that affects the Lakers cap in order to make more money to be able to make this movie while he's being able to play in the NBA in LA, in Hollywood with his teammate. I mean, all of this comes into play. We also know, now I have no proof that this is this directly was used by the Warriors as a negotiation tactic to bring Andre Iguodala back, but Andre Iguodala has ownership or partial ownership of certain companies and certain Silicon Valley businesses that he has built and gained over his time with the Golden State Warriors. Now, of course, he could have bought those and invested into those himself with the money that he's made as part of the community for the amount of time that he was here. That's very, very possible. More than likely, when they were renegotiating Andre Iguodala's contract to try and get him to come back, or maybe even when they offered him a contract initially and took him away, remember, from the Sacramento Kings to come and join the team a number of years ago, I would not be surprised at all if one of the many minority owners of the Golden State Warriors that do have investments and control and ownership of Silicon Valley companies and businesses that absolutely make a boatload of money, if they included that in his deal, a share of their company or things like that, in order to have him come and play for their team. The reality is that takes place in a lot of places, and the NBA investigation is going to bring some of those to light if the NBA really chooses to go that deep. Let's not kid ourselves here. The NBA is aware that this stuff is going on. Fans are aware that this stuff is going on. Players, while they don't openly discuss it, they are aware that people are aware that this stuff is going on. Again, my perspective on the entire thing is it's sneaky. It's gross. It's kind of bending the rules a little bit to your will, and it does give advantages to major markets, but major markets already have significant advantages. Even if this wasn't going on, major markets would still have significant advantages over smaller markets in terms of attracting big name talent to come and play for them. I'm not as bothered by this as I probably should be, and as many people I know are. It's just the reality of the NBA, the business of the NBA today, and with the NBA being such a players' league, where players are getting more and more control of their destinies. We just saw Anthony Davis basically, not necessarily tank, but, and pout is a bad word because that suggests kind of has a connotation of him being kind of a baby and a sore loser about it. But he ran himself out of New Orleans. He forced himself to get traded to where he wanted to go, and it ended up working for him. It also ended up working for New Orleans, so it wasn't a terrible thing. But players are getting more and more power as time goes on, but they're also bringing in a boatload of money for the NBA. So I don't know what the solution is. I don't know what the balance is going to be, where you're going to find that balance in the NBA. But this investigation starting might reveal some ugly truths. And I don't think the Kings or any team in the NBA is above this. I would not be surprised at all if Steve Ballmer and the Los Angeles Clippers added extra incentives for Kawhi Leonard and even Paul George to come to LA to play for the Clippers. I would not be surprised at all if the Warriors tried to include incentives for Kevin Durant to stick around, or maybe the Brooklyn Nets included incentives to get him to sign there, and because he could have had more money in Golden State if he stuck around, but instead he took less money to go play with Kyrie in Brooklyn. He's going to make that up in some way, shape, or form. Is it shoe deals? Are there businesses in New York that are helping him out? We don't know, but it would be naive to think that that stuff doesn't exist and that stuff isn't happening. So if you have a take on that, a hot opinion on that, I know it's a little mild from me at this point in time. I'm waiting to know more and ultimately not incredibly shocked or surprised or even that bothered by all of this that is going on. But you let me know at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can also email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Enough about that, though. We are going to take a quick pause, and when we come back, my conversation with Sacramento Kings star point guard De'Aaron Fox at his pro camp in Rocklin, California. That's coming up next. So a couple things to get out of the way before we get to this De'Aaron Fox interview. Like I mentioned, it was in Rocklin at Hardwood Palace in Rocklin, California. This was day two of De'Aaron Fox's pro camp that he held. Like I mentioned earlier, 240 campers, or around 240 campers, were involved in this camp, and De'Aaron Fox did everything he could to spend time with them, teach them the game of basketball, and for them to get to see him as a human, not just as a superstar or an idol that I know so many of those kids look up to. Hardwood Palace also housed Buddy Hield's camp that he held a couple of weeks ago. And De'Aaron Fox also just recently did a camp in Houston, which is his hometown, before he did this one up here in Rocklin. So I love when De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, players around the world, when they take their time to do this. I know that they I mean, it's beneficial for them as well, but for them to give their time to the community and to kids to help teach them and to be a human being and to be an active member of the community, I love that, and I soaked that all up, and it was really cool to see De'Aaron Fox interact with kids like that. Now, because KHDK partnered and sponsored the event, we were able to get an exclusive interview with De'Aaron before the regular media scrum, and I was very honored that KHDK elected or asked me to do the interview with De'Aaron, and De'Aaron was in a great mood, very nice, chatted with him a little bit beforehand, a little bit afterwards, but sadly, because of his obligations at the camp was still going on while we were talking to him, and because of the also waiting media scrum, I was not able to get more than 3 or 4 minutes with De'Aaron. So the interview's not very long, but I do manage to get a good amount of questions in there. It's better than nothing, and I wanted to bring it to you here on the Locked On Kings podcast. De'Aaron was great, said some interesting stuff that I think you will enjoy. So without further ado, here is my conversation with De'Aaron Fox from his pro camp at Hardwood Palace in Rocklin, California.
We're here in Rocklin, California at the Hardwood Palace, the De'Aaron Fox Pro Camp for over 240 campers that are here to be able to play basketball with De'Aaron Fox, Sacramento Kings star point guard. Nice enough to spend a few minutes with us. Also just wrapped up a camp in Houston. So De'Aaron, I got to ask you first and foremost, from a player standpoint, being able to do this for kids, being able to share what you've learned and your time as a basketball player with these campers, what does that mean to you?
Oh, it's just a great feeling, man. It's not too often where, you know, you get a group of kids that can just kind of get to know you, be around you, that don't just see you when they're either at a game or watching on TV. So it's just great just to be able to get to know them and just let them get a feel for, you know, the type of person that you are.
Did you attend any pro camps for NBA players when you were a kid?
I did not too many. I remember just some at the Fundy in Houston. It's a legendary building downtown. So that's really it. That's really just one that I'll remember.
Can you walk me through a little bit of what's been going on, what you guys have been up to over the past couple days, and specifically what you enjoy most about doing these kind of camps?
Man, I really just enjoy just being able to be around kids and just see them smile. I mean, they get so happy from a high five.
Yeah.
So it's just cool for me to be able to be around them, and just the parents that come up and say thank you for putting on a camp like this. And I mean, it's really the least I could do. You know, for me, it's really just giving back to the community and just letting people come out and have fun with the game of basketball.
I got to sneak in a couple Kings questions for you. I know you're a competitor. Western Conference just continues to get better and better, but am I right in assuming that you welcome that challenge? You want to be in the West, or do you sometimes wish you were over in the Eastern Conference a little bit?
No, I mean, I feel like every competitor would say this, where you'd rather be in a close game that you win than, you know, a blowout win. I think it's fun. It's very fun being in close games. So, just being able to step up to the challenge, seeing all these teams, you know, guys moving around, seeing more All-Stars coming to the West. It's intriguing, and it's something that I look forward to.
Well, speaking of players coming to the West, added Dwayne Dedman, a couple new teammates that you have. Just really briefly, how excited are you to play with these guys and add them to your team?
I'm extremely excited. I think that we filled our needs. We got, you know, guys, we got really good guys, really good vets. All the guys that we got are vets, guys that have been in, you know, some conference finals. Even, you know, Trevor's won the championship. So we got the guys that we feel that we needed. And I mean, I'm really looking forward to just embracing it and just trying to be a leader. And always asking questions, always asking these guys, you know, what they've been through. And, you know, for me to be a leader, I have to take that next step.
Final thing for you. Appreciate you taking the time. Last year, last summer around this time, you released a message to Sacramento on the Players Tribune. Is there anything you want to add on to that message, or is it relatively the same going into next year?
It's relatively the same. I think this year it's kind of different because we have the expectation. Last year, at the beginning of the season, it really surprised people. So now, you know, if we win the games, it wouldn't be, you know, as surprising. But like you said before, the West is definitely competitive, but it's something that, you know, we're embracing as a team. And we're a young group. We got the vets that we feel like we needed, and we feel like we're a team that could definitely be recommended in the league.
Awesome. De'Aaron, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it.
It was great to be able to spend a couple of minutes with De'Aaron there. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. If you want to listen to it again, I do not blame you. Not a whole lot of time, but better than nothing to get to spend with him. But I also wanted to share with you, really spoke briefly with him before the conversation and after the conversation. And he kind of reiterated with me the same thing that we discussed on the air, just how much fun he was having and how much he enjoyed putting on the camp and spending time with the kids. And he really made the extra effort. Sometimes in these camps, the players kind of hold off to the side, watch things, and they go from station to station. They're shown where to go, and they spent a little time here and there, and that's it. De'Aaron actively walked around and talked to parents, talked to coaches, talked to everybody, and really made the extra effort to be there and be present at his camp and take the time to pour into these kids' lives. And you heard in the interview, he just loves seeing the smiles on their faces, getting those high fives, and that's just the kind of guy and the kind of leader that De'Aaron Fox is. De'Aaron Fox always makes time for kids at games, before games, after games, when he is able to take pictures or sign autographs. It's one of the qualities about him that I absolutely love and adore, and it's why the Sacramento community loves him and appreciates him so much. Also, after the interview, spoke with him very, very briefly and just talked to him about training camp, and he said the training camp was coming up quick and it'd be here before they knew it, that he was excited and ready to go, and that was basically the extent of our conversation. Also, if you haven't seen it, News 10, Sean Cunningham and Lena, they both released videos or tweeted out videos of De'Aaron Fox his message that he had at the end of his camp, talking to his campers and talking to parents. And he said a lot of great stuff in there, just trying to encourage the kids to be themselves, work on themselves, and make sure that they were not trying to mold themselves and try and be somebody else, but to focus on being the best that they can be. And then he had a great message of listening to your parents and thanking your parents for the opportunities that they give you. We know De'Aaron has an incredibly great relationship and close relationship with his mom that's inspired that message. So that was really cool to see and hear. And again, De'Aaron was in a fantastic great mood and just more than willing to talk, all smiles, and had great energy during the brief time that I got to spend with him. And I'm very thankful for that he brought that energy, not just to the interview, but to the camp as a whole. Your thoughts on some of the stuff that he said? I liked what he said at the end of the interview, basically his extended message here, building off of the message that he had last year in the Players Tribune. He said, Sacramento, we're going to fight for you, and we're going to give it our all. And now he's kind of doubled down on that, but adding on, we think that we're a force to be reckoned with, and we're a playoff team in the Western Conference. Also had some great comments about playing in the West and being that competitor, and saying I'd rather win close games and fight hard and get maybe a lower spot in the Western Conference than have an easier road in the East. That's just the competitor that De'Aaron Fox is. And then, of course, his thoughts on some of the teammates, including Trevor Ariza and Dwayne Dedman, that the Kings have added. He said that they added the veteran presence that they needed and also filled some of the holes that they desperately needed to fill this summer. So he seems to be very pleased with what Vlade Divac and the Kings front office did in a free agency. So a lot of positives coming from De'Aaron Fox, and I think fans should feel the same way about this Kings team heading into next year. Couple of quick things to get to before we wrap up. I'm not sure if you're an NBA 2K fan like I am or an NBA video game fan in general, but De'Aaron Fox finally getting some respect from 2K and the national ranking system when it comes to 2K ratings. He's an 86 overall in NBA 2K20. I'm going to be buying the game. I did an NBA 2K19 giveaway here on the Locked On Kings podcast, planning on doing another one for 2K20 on the Locked On Kings podcast coming up in a couple months. The game releases in September, I believe. Yes, in early September. So maybe late September, I will be giving away a copy, or going to be trying to give away a copy of NBA 2K20. So be sure to stay tuned for that. And then play with the Kings, play with De'Aaron Fox, because an 86 overall rating is pretty exciting. He's going to be pretty damn good and fun to play with in that video game. Also, the Sacramento Kings hired Lindsey Harding as one of an addition to Coach Luke Walton's staff. And Lindsey Harding, another female coach to work her way onto an NBA bench. And, you know, every single time that I get these or these stories come by, I always try and emphasize to fans the same thing over and over and over again. This is not a publicity stunt by the Kings or for the Boston Celtics. Hiring Carol Lawson as an assistant coach was not a publicity stunt. Of course, Becky Hammon with the San Antonio Spurs, they're not there just to be good, feel-good stories. And look, the NBA is inclusive. Women are now on the coaching staff. That's not the case whatsoever. These women are in these positions as NBA assistant coaches at the highest level because They are brilliant basketball minds, and they earned it, and they deserved it. Now, there is always going to be a natural interest, not necessarily concern, but interest in how difficult it is for them to step into the NBA at a professional level and maintain the respect, gain, earn, and maintain the respect of their players, just like men head coach and assistant coaches have to. It's nothing new. It's nothing different. Ms. Harding, or Coach Harding, had something to say about this in an interview with Ramona Shelburne that I thought was very, very interesting. And I wanted to share a little bit with you briefly because it was eye-opening to me and it was fun for me to read and encouraging for me to read. So I wanted to share it with you. They were discussing the slow transition of more women making their way into coaching or significant roles in the NBA. And specifically when it comes to coaching, Coach Harding was emphasizing that players have not been the issue with this slow process. It may be a concern or a fear of change from the NBA or from fans or basketball as a whole. That could be playing a part into it, Harding says. But the players themselves, it doesn't take much for them to respect these women. These women have earned their respect, and the players are oftentimes very inclusive. We see the great relationships that Becky Hammon has with her players in San Antonio. If Greg Popovich is ejected or goes down, Becky Hammon is the next one to step up. She's been the head coach of the summer league team for a number of years there with San Antonio, and the players respect her and admire her, and that comes from two areas. One, they have a natural fear of Greg Popovich, and Greg Popovich completely endorses her like she is the greatest coach on the planet, and because to Popovich she is. And two, she's earned their respect by her high basketball IQ, by her ability of being just a fantastic NBA and basketball coach. Coach Harding, Coach Lawson, all these women that are working their way in the NBA, once again, are there because they earn that opportunity. They are the right people for the job. It is not a publicity stunt, and the players respect them, and that's what Harding said in this interview with Ramona Shelburne, which was very encouraging to me. I'm glad that NBA players, now I'm sure it's not everybody, I'm sure there's some players every now and then that have issues, but for the most part, NBA players have been very inclusive and very open-minded when it comes to implementing women into coaching staff. Actually, De'Aaron Fox had a couple of WNBA players or former WNBA players helping him at his pro camp, and he was interacting with them. I love that. I love that idea, that concept. That should not be rare. That should not be something that we have to celebrate as happening every once in a while. That should be something that becomes so consistent that it becomes as second nature as hiring another male assistant or head coach in the NBA. And I think we're working our way towards that. So very excited to see what Coach Harding does joining Coach Walton's staff. Dave Yeager had a fantastic coaching staff, and they're going to be tough to replace, but I like the guys that Luke Walton has put together, and I'm interested to see how they do as a coaching staff with this Kings team going into next season. Covered a lot of stuff here on the Locked On Kings podcast today. Thank you to everybody, either new or returning, that has tuned in. If you have an opportunity, wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it's Himalaya, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, no matter what, wherever you're listening, if there's an area for you to leave a review or a comment section on the podcast, please take advantage of that and do that. It's how we learn, how we grow, and another great way to interact with me. Also, reach me on Twitter at @MattGeorgeKHDK. Email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. That's saclocalmedia.com. It's all fair game, and I'll do my best to get back to you as much as I can. Join the conversation at any time. Have yourself a great Friday and a fun weekend. We will be back next week as the Wild West series continues, so be sure to return for that. Our numbers continue to be fantastic, even through the driest parts of the offseason, and I'm so thankful to all of you listeners for continuing that trend. You all are awesome. Kings fans are loyal, and so are Locked On Kings listeners, and I, as a Locked On Kings host, am loyal right back to you, so thank you very much. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.